Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Planet Radio. I am your host, and you are in my home. I am Indian in the Machine. Just going to get comfortable here, and people often ask me about my name, Indian in the Machine. And what does it mean? And it means many things. First and foremost was that names are actually very important. And the name, when I was wanting to get my music outside of my immediate surroundings, is that my name, my real name is Dieter Braun, and which is a name that I love. And but it didn't it wasn't driving me to learn more about who I am beyond the name and beyond all labels. So the name was very important to me, Indian in the Machine, which was originally the song that I was working on for months and months and months. And it was a ginormous epic piece. You know, I may release it someday, you never know. And I was feeling that having a name, Indian in the Machine, would help solidify my direction and my purpose, and so it's an identity that I wear at this time, and I'm free to change that identity whenever I feel. And but right now I'm having lots of fun as Indian in the Machine, and I like someone wants in. Okay. That's Trudy. And Indian in the Machine became, interestingly enough, a Google search engine favorite of sorts, because not everybody has, you know, every time someone looks for me or every time I'm on the internet, the name Indian gets associated with me. So me being the person putting up those files, right? And so I am now at the top of a lot of different Indian-related Google search engines, and which I find really fascinating. It's actually, for me, it's like reading the morning papers, because I get to see, you know, how people found me on the internet. And because if you've ever been behind the scenes on a website, and you get to see how people found you. And if someone else is linked to your music or your webpage, you get to look and see who. And so on my SoundClick site, I look forward to my daily Google readings. And some people find me from some of the basic search engines like Indian Music MP3. And there are some really more unusual ones. And Indian Divine Penis comes to mind. So if you search that on Google, I'm right up there near the top. So it's really interesting how Google, which is a qualitative search engine, you know, so it's not based on, you know, in reality, and how we base our, you know, the way that we collectively find each other based on like a fable. You know, so on the other hand, you know, there are certain associations that Google makes. Indian sad songs, MP3, when people search that, they will find me often. And Indian love story is another one that people Google quite often. And they, some of them find me. And which I've never really heard of the concept before, Indian love story. And as a concept, for, you know, that like a subgenre of Indian related music. And people are finding me that way. And so I that's become my morning paper. I used to read, of course, the paper every morning, the actual newspaper. And of course, I think, you know, we're all losing interest in that sort of situation. Which, you know, for me, if I look back at all the times I've read, you know, newspapers and magazine articles, that very few, you know, moments stick in my mind. So it's all kind of just a senseless blur that I suppose I had to do, and I enjoyed it a lot because I was you know, getting a little taste of my world and in my own busy world, right? And so in a way it was like taking a shortcut to learning about the world. Which of course, you know, now with the internet, you know, we actually, if we so choose, we can make the time to learn more about the world around us. And something really in depth, and I quite, you know, what I find quite fascinating about, you know, some websites is how it's, it all just, you know, you don't know, you never know who's telling the truth, right? And so the whole process of the internet is, for me, awakening to, you know, how people are playing each other with truths and untruths. And I like playing the game of truths because, you know, when you're playing the game of truth, then you just kind of coast above all the debates. And I used to, you know, when I was posting things earlier and was less sure of the truth under my feet, I would post, you know, my thoughts on the internet and then kind of almost like have it feel like I'm ducking, like, oh my God, oh my gosh, is someone going to attack me? And then understanding my reaction to that, which is like, you know, I'd have all these scenarios and I'd be like, okay, well maybe some people aren't going to like my opinions and then they're going to, you know, attack me in writing, you know. And then I'm forever associated with that that attack. And then realizing that I was creating all those scenarios in my head. And also I was watching myself, or I've been watching myself respond to when other people put something, you know, on the net that is essentially, you know, totally bogus as far as I'm concerned. And I question their, you know, intentions. Or not having any intentions, which is, you know, really questionable at this point in time, at this point in the earthly game. So I was, the whole process of the internet is finding truth. And so I like putting my truth spectacles on and keeping them on. And I'm becoming less interested in other people's distractions. And so often, you know, I find myself here and I do a lot of art in solitude and with other people. And I often sit here wondering, well, gee, should I go out tonight? You know, I'm kind of feeling the itch, like I need to go out. And then just end up staying here. And then thinking to myself, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean about myself that I want to go outside my home and into another environment? And, you know, I feel that I'm craving social interaction. But then I end up staying here, which is more, even more and more likely for all of us that we stay in our homes when it's really cold out. Because we've had a spell of cold weather that's been about 3-4 days now. It's been fairly cool. And more of us, we spend more time in our homes. So for me, it was just, it always, you know, it comes to the fact that, okay, well, you know, when I do stay here, it's not like I'm necessarily here out of boredom, which, you know, really it isn't. It's more like I am basically in charge of the world that I experience and the experiences that I have. And I can choose to do anything that I want with that. And that's really empowering, because nobody likes to give away. When you give away the power, you know, your personal power, that someone or something, you know, a corporation has a hold on you, and you know, they've got you with their, you need to have their clothing. Or their music is a must-have. Or you must go to that movie that everybody's talking about. And, you know, there are a lot more heads popping up every day that people are saying, well, why are we all buying this? And living with, you know, kind of a mediocre experience all the time. Because as much as I am, I like to be dazzled by the special effects of Hollywood, more so when I was younger, and I used to love, you know, how they could make the world so larger than life, and with the music, and every, you know, every holiday season. It was, you know, it's, as we all know, it becomes, you know, okay, well, what movies are coming out? And then it actually becomes perhaps a family tradition. You know, that all the, you know, the family comes from all over, wherever they come from. And then everyone goes to the theater and buys very unhealthy foods, and then they stare at a screen. And I've been to lots of experience. I've had lots of experiences like that, you know, with everyone around me, and you know that I, you know, used to instigate. And for me, it was like, it seemed like it was, you know, fairly, like kind of a social thing, you know, to go to a movie with someone. And even though I thinking about it, I knew that we weren't actually talking to one another. But we would be talking, you know, to the, you know, on the way to the movie, and then talking on the way after the movie. And so it would be like, okay, well, do I actually like even need to have to go with someone, or should I even like, you know, bring someone through the, you know, through that experience if I'm just going to essentially be there in my own thoughts anyways, even though they were next to me? And so here we are with movie season, and Hollywood is has lost its appeal for me, and not for everybody around me. But I see, I can see the agendas of Hollywood that have been there all along. Yeah. And we all know that when, you know, when the Americans are being primed by the war machine, that out comes Hollywood in support of all that. And the next thing you know, it's like, okay, well, the latest, you know, movie that has been being thrust into the public eye has something to do with like pro-war. And I really got tired of that. And so are a lot of people. Because it was like, well, it feels like someone is steering the ship, instead of, you know, the people are ideally, you know, supposed to be stealing, you know, steering our individual ships. And it feels like, you know, it felt like with, you know, what was being offered before me, that I was being gently, and not so gently, encouraged to steer my ship somewhere into the waters of war and violence. And then when I would want to go escape from that, then they offered like stupid comedies. And like really dumb comedies. I couldn't believe some of the experiences I would be having in these dark rooms with other people, laughing at other people's toilet humor, and thinking like, you know, did I pay like a premium for this? You're listening to Indian in the Machine, Planet Radio, on BBS. And so it was right about the time when I gave away my television set, and I started to decrease my the attention that I would be giving to video, and even, of course, to audio, because I used to like watch a lot of movies, and I used to rent a lot of movies. And I still really enjoy the experience. And but I you know, being in control of the experiences I was having, I don't really want anyone steering the ship of me. And so I took, you know, I just, for a while there, like anything that was associated with like Hollywood would be like, okay, well, you know, that's an industry with people with agendas. And none of them are really, none of the agendas, none of the people, none of it all was really striking me, you know, as being sincere. And when I, you know, earlier in my life, that wasn't a concern for me. As long as they were providing me entertainment, I was okay with, you know, the fact that maybe these people were not necessarily concerned with my well-being and more concerned with, you know, whatever the movie was. And then how it wasn't with their, how it worked in their career portfolios, and so on and so forth, you know. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know, I'm having these experiences that I'm feeling like it's practically an assault on my spirit. You know, that, how many people can be blown up, you know, in some of these Hollywood blockbusters, like, you know, you witness a lot of violence. And then you have to, you almost live with it like you were there, you know. And I'm not in the army, and I don't know what it's like to be on the battlefield, you know. I don't want to have that experience in real life. And so I was questioning myself why I would pay to actually have an assimilated experience. where, you know, grown adults would be paid huge sums of money to make sure that they did a really good job to convince us of that those emotions that we have when we watch these movies are real. And so it was like, you know, why am I having this experience? And so now I am starting to, as you know, it's cold out, I'm starting to think more about video and having some video experiences, which is what I'm doing now with my camera. And so if you go to www.spiritfindermusic.com, that will take you to Planet Radio. There's a link. And at the Planet Radio link, I am putting up some one-minute videos. Because although, you know, for those of us who have, you know, digital cameras that are, you know, everywhere these days, you can do these little one-minute videos, or, you know, probably a lot longer too, depending on your camera. But mine limits me to 1 minute. And then I thought, you know, that's kind of fun, because that's, you know, so the, because like the limitation, and also it allows you to do something, you know, quick and spontaneous. And sometimes, you know, that's all we have time for. And so I appreciate the 1 minute limitation that my camera has. And I put up, I posted one on a 1 minute video on organic sprouted bread, because I think organic sprouted bread is one of the most delicious things I discovered only fairly recently. And I had heard of sprouted bread before, but I didn't know what it was. And what they do is that they'll sprout the grain for and then rinse it every day, and eventually, you know, the grain is going to sprout like it's, you know, like a pea would sprout if you left it, you know, in water. And so these grains are actually starting to sprout and start life, you know, the process of life is triggered, you know, through this method of sprouting. And then I don't do it, but I buy at the farmer's market some sprouted breads. And these sprouted breads don't often have flour in them. And they're quite dense, but they are most definitely bread without flour. And the one I like is a multigrain that has it has yeast and honey, sea salt, and sprouted grains. And somehow, you know, I haven't taken the process yet all the way in my own kitchen, that they combine everything and it creates a fairly tasty, nutty, dense loaf. And what the Phoenix Journals do say is that sprouted grains are incredibly dense nutritionally as well. Much more so than flour. Which for me was, you know, caught my eye, because I was reading this, I was trying to like wean myself off the supplements that I was still taking, because in my mind, you know, seemed to be the right thing to do in order to, increase my nutritional intake. You know, that's why we supplement with vitamins and minerals. But I don't like that idea at all, I've decided. I decided that it was made much more sense that if I could get as much nutrition out of my food as possible, then that would be a good thing. And I didn't have to worry with the expense or whether or not it was in the right, elemental composition. You know, like, I just decided to say no. You know, when I was reading about these sprouted grains that are just packed with everything, then I was hooked. And then I was further hooked when I read again in the Phoenix Journals that you could have this with butter, and there was a special synergy between the sprouted kernels and the butter, which increased the nutritional potential even further. So I was like, okay, this works for me. And after I had my first sprouted bread, I was, it's tasty, but I was, it was really dense. And even though I'm a huge fan of rye and pumpernickels and the really dense breads, I wasn't necessarily thrilled with, having another one, because I was, I had grown up on the white flour, everything from white flour to pumpernickel. And of course, really progressed much, much further in the whole bread game. So another thing that I really like to these days is whether or not my flour is when I do eat breads with flour that it has whole grains, and that the flour wasn't stored at room temperature, which excludes an awful lot of bread out there, there's even a bakery down the street, and I wish I would feel inclined to purchase more of their bread, but I can't because it's full of chemicals. So even though it's a local bakery, and even though you walk in there and you smell fresh bread, it's not all flour and water and yeast anymore, folks. At the major supermarket in Canada, you look at the bread and at the ingredients of their French bread. Everyone likes a French loaf. Not just French anymore. There is a list of chemicals that should make any thinking person go, huh? What is all that? And I had one of those moments and quickly moved on from ever purchasing the bread ever again. It's something I simply rarely do. Even though, you know, for example, if I still go out for a burger and I have a bison burger because I'm, you know, eating bison, you know, you still got to think about the bun. And it's like, okay, well, do these people know, you know, how to make a non-poisoned bun? And most people don't. Most people don't know enough about concepts of nutrition in order to make a proper loaf of bread. Because people can make beautiful tasting loaves of bread, and that doesn't mean it's good for you. And I know, being a avid reader of ingredients, because it tells a story to me, you know, it tells me, like, okay, well, like, what, how well do these people have a relationship with this food that they're making and putting it in my body eventually, you know? And it's like, okay, what they're putting in a lot of breads these days, you know, when you get a bread mix as opposed to flour in the refrigerator, the bread mix often has, you know, can have things like phosphates. And then you're eating that. Then, of course, there's the oil that they use. Is it a trans fat? Was it stored at room temperature? And was it organic? So we're in a situation now where it's very difficult for us to even go out and eat somewhere without, you know, having, you know, legitimate concerns about how the food is going to affect us in a positive and in a negative way. And it becomes something that you have to have some, you know you're not going to keel over dead having, you know, an ill-prepared meal. But if you have those ill-prepared meals over and over again, you know, it's overall, it becomes a situation where you, you know, the level of your personal vitality has just been lowered. And until you break yourself away from some of those dietary habits, are you going to increase your vitality beyond that which you know? And so I think we're all in that process of either rising to the challenge of taking responsibility for the needless chemicals that we just open our mouths and chug a lot. And I have been, and not only the chemicals, okay, because, for example, there are things like proper storage for flour and oils that most households, I'm only guessing, but, you know, it's not going to do much good if you buy a rancid product that was stored at room temperature at the supermarket and then take it to proper storage conditions at home, right? You're not fixing anything. You can't improve the situation. So because most people are buying, you know, flour at room temperature, and, you know, it's basically well on its way to being rancid, if not already. And, you won't necessarily know that because, they can put these products through processing to minimize, you know, the scent of rancidity. Rancidity. And the deodorization process, for example, or the debleaching process. You know, they'll actually bleach your oil before they sell it to you. Degrade it that way, you know, and whatever. The more you process a food item, the more you're going to degrade the food. Not just the nutrition. It's just like, you know, that you kind of lose touch with the food, that it's too isolated from natural. And so I like the idea of having oils that have lots of color. For example, flaxseed oil has that deep yellow color. And I have recently discovered the joys of putting flaxseed oil on my in my salads, along with lemon juice, which is becoming more and more preferable to me to the vinegars, which I still, you know, appreciate. And from what I understand, the lemon juice has a strong alkaline effect on you know, the pH of my body. And so this is becoming, you know, of interest to me. And lemon tastes great, and so I really like that combination. Flaxseed oil, along with some olive oil, and then some lemon, and then often with feta cheese. Salt and pepper, and it makes, you know, the most versatile dressing that I use a lot. So I appreciate now that I caught on to the oil game, the flour game, and which makes for limitations now. Okay, that I go through this, you know, this trouble, and well, not really trouble. I mean, I went through the effort to know this and to buy it, then to consume it, and to start to have, you know, experiences of increased vitality. And so I'm becoming less and less inclined to give that up, when I go out somewhere and I order some fries, that I really do, you know, I love French fries. But now I'm reading about, you know, there's a compound of chemicals called, well, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, acrylamide. I think it's pronounced acrylamides. And these are very, like, carcinogenic. And I'm thinking, okay, does that mean like everybody's like eating, you know, carcinogens every time they go out for like French fries? And that's, you know, is that normal? You know, is this like happening? You know, is this now a normal part of our dietary existence? And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a little bizarre. You know, like, doesn't anyone want to stop this? And, you know, shouldn't, you know, the public health officials, like, be legitimately concerned? You know, but the, you know, the potato factories aren't slowing down. Excuse me. And then we are, we're ingesting that every time we go out for a meal. We're encouraged to have, you know, fries, something fried, potato-y with something. And I was starting to be concerned about this because I, like, you know, I've been eating a lot of French fries. And I was wondering, okay, well, you know, what's the story behind the French fry that I'd been ignoring? And then now I'm going to better pay attention. You know, along my journey, along anyone's journey, you know, towards increased awareness. You live in the West, it's going to involve, you know, you and a French fry looking at each other eye to eye. And you're going to want to know, what is that French fry? And you know that what kind of oil are they using? And most of these places use soybean, and they call it vegetable oil, or they use, you know, canola oil. So these things are, you know, highly polyunsaturates, which they can't really like withstand high temperatures for very long without going rancid. And you may not necessarily pick up on that, on the scent of that, if there's, you know, been a process of deodorization that oil has been through. So, and then, you know, some of these restaurants will fry in the deep fryer for like weeks. So you can imagine, you know, that here's this oil product that isn't, you know, it's prone to rancid, to going rancid because it has lots of polyunsaturates, and then they take and they jolt it at high temperatures for weeks. You know, and then eventually, you know, all of their customers get the joys of the ill effects from, you know, such a, you know, it's really kind of a twisted way of eating and expecting anything but, you know, but health problems, you know, because that is your problem. The problem then becomes the fry. And the fact that, you know, you, for myself, love, you know, the taste of a French fry, and you know that, you know, as you increase your awareness towards it, that it's probably the source of, you know, of many health problems to come. Or maybe it's the source of, you know, the reasons why, you know, lower vitality was experienced in the past. So I was, so I am in the process of reevaluating my relationship with fried foods, and only fairly recently have I decided, you know, that, you know, I am definitely on, well on my way to no fried foods from restaurants. And that's, I will, you know, I will fry at home with coconut oil. And that's, I'm hearing coconut oil is one of the best oils to fry with. And at medium temperatures. So I like that idea. Because it's like, okay, you know, I can do that. I've recently been experiencing the joys of canola oil on my skin. And canola oil makes the most amazing popcorn. In fact, you know, they used to use canola oil, you know, in movies until they decided to use, you know, something much more degrading. It's like that orange hydrogenated cottonseed oil with orange dyes. And then people will have that with, often as a duo, it comes with a, they call it a combo, because it comes with pop. And then you go to the movie and you pay $12 for your ticket, and you end up paying for your combo, you know, it could be like another $10. You know, depending on what it is. And the whole thing is just, you know, chug-a-lug and poisons. And taken away, you know, for the experience of paying a premium to poison yourself, you get to experience overall lower vitality. Because until you're going to take, you know, the amount of chemicals that you're ingesting into your body, and to be and to increase your awareness and be responsible for that, you are not going to even know your potential for high vitality. Because you are, you will have to give up vitality in order to in order for your body to process the chemicals. So, if you don't read the ingredients, then you are just plain, you are saying that your vitality is not of importance. So I, it is very important for me to, you know, I'm in this process of seeing, of experiencing my vitality go up, and I really like that process a lot because it makes it much easier to handle. All of the shifting energies around me, and I don't like being propelled into. I prefer not to, right? To be propelled into lower density experiences, which is what Hollywood seems to want me to have. And I like having high density experiences. And as a result, you know, so I can tell the world around me can begin to offer some of those. You know, if a restaurant said, you know, we are, we create our food using, you know, using, you know, organic foods grown close to home, locally sourced, harvested. Recently, you know, with processed oils, for example, that are you know, handled properly, you know, not that it came in a giant plastic bucket on sale, and so I find that I'm becoming more intent. Or content, excuse me, with preparing my own foods. And on those times when I do go out, then, you know, I am watchful and more mindful of what I order. And what I would like to order... And but we'll choose my vitality over my taste buds. Because overall, I think I have better experiences choosing my vitality. Even though I could continue to have, you know, some of those fried, tasty experiences that I really do appreciate and have a lot of fond memories about and over, that I am eating much more raw foods these days. And with the flaxseed oil on and coconut oil and olive oil, I use those are my three oils, and butter, a nice little lot of butter, that I feel much more physically able. And the coconut oil was really something for me, because I think, you know, my body had been obviously craving it. And I didn't know that it was like craving coconut oil. And I use it quite regularly on my skin. And it's in my frying pan too. And I make popcorn with it. So if you haven't tried coconut oil, I think you're in for a real treat once you do. So I think it's time for a bit of a break. And I may actually go fry up some eggplant with some coconut oil. And have that with a little bit of lemon over top some brown rice. So eating a lot of grains actually can be quite a filling way to feed yourself. And if you're not eating, if you're still eating a lot of meat, I don't think you have any need to be concerned, like I used to have, that I would go hungry if I didn't have my huge portions of meat. And I was used to eat a lot of the supermarket meats, and none of them really fry up properly. They practically like boil in the frying pan, and that's because they inject the meat, I believe, with estrogen, which causes these animals to retain a lot of water. So next time you you feel compelled to put that in your body,
then
think about you know, that nice little dose of estrogen you're giving yourself, and then having to give up some vitality in order for your body to deal with it. So next time you're feeling, you know, that you want to go eat out, then if you're like me, then you will choose wisely and with health and vitality in mind, and then proceed with caution. Not just a joke. So I'm going to be taking a break here, and we'll be back shortly. And good eats to you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.